say a few words in prayer to God. Everybody prays. And not only do people pray, but God wants us to pray. If you're a Christian, God wants you to pray. And the question then is, well, how should we pray? If we do pray and God wants us to pray, how should we go about praying? And so Paul tells us in verse 2 of chapter 4. He says, when it comes to prayer, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. He's so practical, is Paul. He tells us here exactly how to pray. He says, when it comes to prayer, you should be constant, you should be watchful, and you should be thankful. You should be constant, you should be watchful, and you should be thankful. First of all, you should be constant. What is prayer? What is prayer? Prayer is an offering up of our desires to God. It's taking our desires, the things that we think about, the things that we want, and bringing them to God. Bringing what's on our minds, bringing what's on our hearts to him. He knows those things already, but he wants us to bring them to him. What does it mean then to be steadfast in prayer and to continue steadfast in prayer? It means to make a habit of doing that. To regularly, to constantly be bringing your desires, your wants, your cares to him. What does that mean in practice then? Well, it means, first of all, to make prayer a priority. To make it the first thing in your life. Now, we're many Christians, as Christians, we want to make it the first thing in our lives. But when life becomes busy, it's the first thing that goes. Or we tag prayer on to our lives. But prayer should be the first thing in our life. You know, when a child is born, they breathe. When a Christian is born again, they pray. Prayer to a Christian is like oxygen to a baby. You know, you as a Christian, you inhale the promises of God. And you do that as you read the Bible, as you hear the promises of God from Scripture, and you exhale those promises back to God in prayer. That's what prayer is. We inhale through reading the Scriptures. We exhale by talking to our Father in heaven in prayer. You see, you can do more than pray after you've prayed. But you can't do more than pray until you've prayed. You see, prayer is our life as a Christian. In fact, a sign that a person has become a Christian is that they want to pray. Not just at particular times and occasions, but they want to pray regularly. I was reading about a time of revival and renewal of religion. And in Scotland, and the sign that people had become Christians wasn't that they attended services at church on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening. The sign that someone had become a Christian is that they turned up to the prayer meeting during the week. Because they wanted to talk to God. They wanted to commune with God. They wanted to pray. And so if you want to pray, you've got to set aside time to do it. You know, we set aside time to do what we feel is important. If prayer is important, we pray. Set aside time in the morning when you wake up. Time in an evening before you go to bed. Time at lunchtime, just for 5 minutes in the middle of a busy day, to pray. And as you begin to do those things and set aside those times, you'll find yourself praying more regularly and more constantly through the rest of the day. Come to the church prayer meetings. We've got half a dozen half-hour prayer meetings during the week. Find one that suits you. Come and join it and pray. And make prayer a regular part of your life. You know, so often our prayer lives are like the Manchester weather. You know, it rains, Manchester summer weather anyway, it rains and then it's sunshine. And then it rains and then it's sunshine. And then it rains and then it's sunshine. That's summer in Manchester. And so often our prayer lives can be like that. Stop, start, stop, start, stop, start. You know, you've got good intentions and you begin to pray and then you stop and then you begin to pray and then you stop. Make prayer regular. Make it consistent. Remember a number of years ago, I went to Paris and I visited the Arc de Triomphe. And under the Arc de Triomphe, there is the tomb of the unknown soldier. And on top of the tomb is a little light that burns 24/7 as a memorial to those who've died in First World War, in the Second World War, who were never identified. Well, we should be burning like that candle before God in prayer, praying consistently to him, 24/7. You say, well, does that mean I should give up my job so I can pray? No, but it means to do your job prayerfully. Have a prayerful attitude as you go to work. Yeah, you know, you've got a constant access to God in prayer as his child, as a Christian. And so pray. You know, before you do something, pray. When you finish something, pray. Be bold, be confident. Approach your Heavenly Father. You see, we need to make prayer a priority, but also we need to make Christ a reality. See, to be a Christian means to make Jesus Christ your Lord and your Savior. It's to live for him. You see, everybody lives for something. Everyone's got a Lord and a Master in their life. You know, it might be money, it might be a relationship, it might be your job. It can be 101 things. But as a Christian, it's Jesus Christ. He's your Lord, he's your Master, he's your Savior. He's the one who's died on the cross for you. And we relate to Jesus Christ through prayer. That's how we connect with him. That's how we build a relationship with him. That's how we depend on him. And that's how we show our dependence on him. We put him first as we pray. You know, we talk as Christians about putting God first in our lives. And people say, well, how do I do that? How do I go about doing that? You know, how do I go about putting Jesus Christ first in my life? Well, Paul's answer here would be pray. Because when you pray, that's what you're doing. You're showing your dependence on him. You're showing your love for him. You're saying, he's coming first in my life before anything else. I'm praying. I'm bringing my prayers to him. I'm bringing my requests to him, my desires to him, my cares to him. See, Jesus Christ loves to make us happy. And so he loves to answer our prayers. You know, he wants to answer the prayers that we pray. And if he delays answering those prayers, it's for our good. It's only so that we stack up our requests so that he can answer those prayers with interest. See, he's a generous God and a generous Savior who is more keen to answer the prayers that we pray than we are to pray them. The story is told of Alexander the Great. And the story is told about him that he had a general who was a very loyal general. And after years of service, approached him about his daughter's wedding. Alexander the Great was the greatest man in the world at the time. And his general approached him and said, you know, would you pay for my daughter's wedding, please? And Alexander the Great said, yeah, that's fine. Go and speak to the treasurer and he'll sort it out. Anyway, not long afterwards, the treasurer came to Alexander and said, Alexander, your general has asked for this much money for the wedding. It's outrageous. This will be the biggest, the greatest wedding that Greece has ever known. And you can't let him take all this money from the treasury to pay for this wedding. Alexander thought about it for a moment. And he said, well, grant him his full request. And the treasurer was like, what? He's having you on here. And Alexander said, no, he's honouring me because he thinks that I am very rich in asking for this much money and I'm very generous in being willing to give it to him. He does me a double honour. You know, God is very rich and he's very generous. Come to God with your prayers. Come to God with your requests. You know, If you believe that God rules the world and that he's your father who loves you, why wouldn't you bring every prayer and or every desire and every care that you have to him? He's more willing to answer your prayers than you are to ask. You know, when it comes to prayer, bring every kind of request and care to him. Bring big things to him. It can do that. It can answer those things. It can deal with them. Bring small things to him in prayer as well. There's nothing too small that's outside of his care and concern. You know, as John Newton, the writer of Amazing Grace, the ex-slave trader, put it, he said in one of his songs, "You are coming to a king. Big petitions with thee bring. For his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much." See, make Christ a reality in your prayers, but also make every circumstance an opportunity. See, when it comes to prayer, let's pray, continue steadfastly in prayer, which means, I think, that we're to pray in every circumstance we find ourselves. If you're happy, pray. If you're sad, pray. If you're lost, pray. If you're healthy, pray. If you're unhealthy and ill, pray. If work's going well, pray. If work's difficult, pray. Whatever circumstance you find yourself in, pray. And pray for everything. You know, if you are battling with issues at the moment in your life, pray. And pray before you go to the doctor. Pray before you try and deal with those issues. Come to God in prayer first. You know, I find that when I pray, my problems lessen. They lessen because either they go away altogether, or they're solved in some way, or the question that I have is answered, or I've got confidence that God's got it in hand, or I just stop worrying about it because I've given it to God and he's going to deal with it. You know, I remember a while ago praying about something and I was really concerned about it. And after I'd finished praying, I checked my emails and the answer was there on the email straight away. I'm like, God does that sort of thing. Sometimes he leaves it a while before he gives the answer. But he does answer. You know, we should pray to him. We should pray to him in every circumstance about everything. You're trying to park your car at Tesco. You pray for a car parking spot. But then that person in your life who you love dearly is ill and you're at the bedside. You pray. Pray about everything at all times. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. See, our God is so gracious and so good and so powerful and so wise, he can deal with our prayers and requests. We don't offend him by asking for things that are so big and so large. And we don't offend him by asking for things that are so small and seemingly insignificant. The only way we would offend our great and our good God is by not coming to him in prayer and bringing the request to him in the first place. We should be constant in our prayers. But not only should we be constant, Paul says, continue steadfast in prayer, being watchful in it. We should be watchful in prayer. What does it mean to be watchful? It means to be aware of the time in which we live. Well, what's the time in which we live? We live between Christ's first coming and Christ's second coming. See, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, came into the world to save the world, to die on the cross, to rise again, to bring good news to the world, the good news of forgiveness through his death on the cross. Good news that we can be right with God through him. And one day, he's going to come back and reclaim the nations of this world. He's going to come and rule on this world once and forever. We live between his first coming and his second coming. Being watchful means being aware of that. So what does he mean for our prayers? Well, he means, first of all, we need to be aware of the needs of the world in our present time. You know, there are needs throughout the world. And there will be until Christ returns. You know, it's as if there's this a glacier over the whole of this world. A glacier of unbelief which results in sin and death across the world. And so we should pray into that. And as we pray, we should see our prayers like fiery torches burning holes in that glacier. Melting unbelief. Dealing with issues. We should pray for the needs that we see. The needs that we see around us. The needs that we see on the telly. We should pray for our friends in need. Pray for their health. Pray for the difficult circumstances that they face. We should pray for our own sin and the issues in our own lives. Pray that God would forgive us all our sins. Pray that God would help us to walk in holiness and righteousness. And when we pray, we should argue with God about these things. We should reason with him. We should plead with him. We should say, God, this is your world. You've placed me in your world to be someone who prays, who asks for your help, who asks for these situations to be sorted out. You can deal with these things, Lord. Answer my prayers. Answer my prayers for Jesus' sake, so that when he comes back, he won't find a world full of unbelief and sin, but will find believers in every nation and people group, people who are living for him and walking with him. Be aware of the needs of the world. Be aware also of the hope of salvation. See, now is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. You see, there's an opportunity for salvation now, between Christ's first coming and Christ's second coming. You see, after Christ's second coming, there won't be an opportunity for people to get themselves right with God. When he returns, there'll be judgment day. But until he returns, there's an opportunity for people to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and to be saved. God's gospel, God's word, changes lives and brings people into a right relationship with God again. Jesus says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anybody hears my voice and opens up the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. If you've never accepted that invitation of Jesus Christ, I encourage you to accept it tonight. He will come and eat with you. He will come and be with you. And if you have accepted that invitation, don't you want others to accept it as well? Don't you want other people to have the opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, the way that gospel spreads throughout the world, the way that people hear about the gospel is by doors opening, opportunities arising for that gospel to go out. And those doors open and those opportunities rise through prayer. See, prayer is God's power to open those doors. Those doors which seem slammed shut, where there seems little hope that this person is going to accept the gospel of Jesus Christ, or this people are going to accept the gospel of Jesus Christ, or this country is going to accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. Prayer unlocks those doors so the gospel can come in. When I was in Pakistan a few years ago, I was had the opportunity to go and visit a number of villages which had been full of Hindus. But people had turned in their numbers to Jesus Christ. And I was talking to one of the missionaries who'd been there for years. And he said, our organization has worked with these people for decades. With one or two people becoming Christians throughout those decades. They were hardened to the gospel. But then the last 10 years, we've seen hundreds of converts. Hundreds of people coming to know Jesus Christ. And he said he thinks it's because of a build-up of prayer. You see, when we pray, God works and opens doors for the gospel. Be aware of that. And be aware of the shortness of life. You know, time is short. Our lives are short. Death is certain. And none of us know when we're going to die. And after death, there is going to be a judgment day. And everybody's going to drop into an unchanging eternity. And we'll live forever in glory with Jesus Christ. Or in the terrors of hell. Only one life. It will soon be passed. And only what's done for Jesus Christ will last. And so pray in light of the shortness of life. Pray that God will give you opportunities to share the gospel of him. Pray that people would come into his kingdom. You know, people across the world are like, all over the world are like people who have, you look at the world and it's like there has been a shipwreck and people are drowning at sea. And what they need is a lifeboat to rescue their souls. Well, that lifeboat is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And prayer is the engine that will power that lifeboat to go and rescue those souls. You know, you might say to me, you know, Paul, I can't do much. I'm older in life. I can't go and be a missionary in a far-flung place. But you can pray. You can pray that doors would open for missionaries in those countries. You might say, I can't even go down the street and do very much. And I can't reach that people group over there. No, but you can pray that others would. That God would soften people's hearts, that when Christians get there, people have soft and tender hearts to receive the message that they have to give. Be aware of the shortness of life. And keep being aware of these things. You know, one of the dangers in the Christian life is not that we don't pray, particularly as we begin the Christian life, but that prayer tails off. And that we get drowsy and that we fall asleep and that our prayer lives lessen and they're not as fiery as they used to be. We get drawn into the cares of everyday life. We get distracted by the things in the world. Too many of us end up falling asleep, sometimes literally when we pray. And what does Jesus say again and again in the Gospels? Stay awake, be alert, be watchful. Pray. I heard a story about a lighthouse keeper before there was a technology. And every night he would have to go to the top of his lighthouse and keep the light burning. He used to run up and take some oil to the top of his lighthouse. And so the light would burn all night long. And as the ships came past, they would steer away from the rocks. And then one night, he fell asleep on the job and didn't go up to the top of the lighthouse and to keep the light burning.
Who was that?
And in the morning, it was a story I was told. And in the morning, the issue in the morning was that he looked out from his lighthouse and he saw on the rocks all around him the bodies of men and women. Men and women who had been killed, drowned, because the ship had crashed on the rocks. And when he was asked in the inquiry that happened afterwards why his light wasn't burning, why the ship didn't steer away from the rocks, he simply said, "I fell asleep." May we not be people who fall asleep. May we be people who pray and keep praying because people's souls are at stake. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the only hope for the world. It's the only hope for our lives. And the only way that the gospel is going to go out into people's hearts and lives is if we pray. And we're only going to pray if we stay awake when we pray. And so we need to be watchful as we pray. Third, we need to be thankful as we pray. I'm happy to talk to you afterwards, but I need to speak now, and I'm going to speak about being thankful as we pray. One reason we don't pray is that we are...
Hey, there's 100 people in age. I show some respect. I was my Lord on all my life.
The third thing we need to see when it comes to prayer, the third thing that Paul talks about here is that we need to be thankful as we pray. See, one of the reasons we don't pray,
God, and that is Jesus, and that's it. And will he do what these are doing to me? Because he is the one Lord, yeah? And you know, if the Lord God come to it, yeah, and come to it, yeah, will he tell me to go? No, he wouldn't. No, he wouldn't. Would he? No, he wouldn't.
Excuse me, at the back. You're very happy and welcome to stay, but you need to hear God's word. Can you wait? Can you wait, please?
Do you believe he is God, or do you believe he is the Son of God? Because, no, we are the sons of God. We are the sisters. We're daughters. He is the Lord Almighty God, who no one can forgive sins apart from God himself. So why did he forgive sins? You tell me that. Because he can. Who can raise people from the dead? Only God. Who can raise from the dead himself? Only God. Because he is the Lord Almighty God himself. We're not believing he's the Son of God. Because I am the Son of God, and every fellow here, and every woman here is daughters. Believe me. Believe me.
Excuse me. Do you have to disturb everyone else?
Sorry.
Do you have to disturb everyone else?
No, I know. But I like to know.
I understand.
But please, please.
Just have a seat.
Please, yeah. I know my Lord is in here with my arm. Yeah? So if all you believe you're something else, yeah? He's the Lord God.
Please, can you
why do you think he said the Lord? There's no man. He's the Lord. He's the Lord Almighty God himself. And you believe, yeah? The Lord Jesus. Why do you call him the Lord? In the old Bible, yeah? What was God called? The Lord. And that's him. No one can forgive sins. No one can do nothing. He's not the Son of God. He's the Lord. My mighty God, he manifested himself to this earth. End of. I don't care what you say or what you do. God brought me into the air for a reason. And I might be like this. But listen, I'm an evil person. I'm a bad person. But I'll tell you what. There's still nothing that I can't do. I'm a priest of the Lord. He's my Lord, my God, and he should be all your own. He's not the Son of God. Yous are all sons of God. Every single one of you are sons, and you're all daughters. So don't ever believe.
We are the sons of God. You're correct, thank you.
Yeah. Wow. Remember that. Look, I've been out of here, so
third, Paul says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. See, we need to be constant in prayer. We need to be watchful in prayer. But third, we need to be thankful in prayer. See, one reason we don't pray is because we're discouraged. We don't feel that prayer is going to make a difference. And so, if we remember God's mercies, if we remember God's grace to us in the past, then that will provide us with a great incentive to pray. Because we'll see what God has done in the past in our lives, it will make us thankful, and it will keep us going. You know, when you give a gift to a child, especially a small child, they don't give you a gift back. Neither do they sometimes even say thank you for the gift. But when you give them the gift, they smile at you. And that smile makes you want to give them another gift. Well, go to God with a smile on your face. A smile for his mercies. A smile for his grace. A smile for the things he's done in your life. He loves to give you good things. And as he sees a smile on your face as you receive them, he'll want to give more. Be thankful for what he's done. You know, our lives should be characterized by thankfulness. And as they're characterized by thankfulness, then God in turn takes pleasure in that thankfulness and wants to give us more things to be thankful for. We've got so many things to be thankful for. Give thanks for the gospel. Give thanks for Jesus Christ. The fact that our sins have been forgiven. That we are right with God. That we are children of God. That God is our Father. That we're his children. Give thanks for the fact that he's provided us a home in heaven where we will be with him forever. Give thanks for all these good gifts that he's given us. Give thanks for the gospel. Give thanks for God's provision in our lives. You know, God gives us so many good things day after day. He gives us life. He gives us breath. He gives us food. He gives us friends. Give thanks for all these things. Give thanks as an individual. You know, think about specific things that God has given you and give thanks for those things. Give thanks as a church for what he's done. How he's enabled us to begin more ministries over this past year and reach out to more people with the good news of Christ and help more people in our community. Give thanks to God for what he's done for us as a nation. You know, the fact that there seems to be more people interested in Christianity in our country in recent months. Give thanks for people going forward for ministry in the Church of England and in other churches. Give thanks for many Iranians in our community and in our country becoming Christians. You see awful things happening in Iran and in the Middle East at the moment, but God is doing a work amongst the Iranian people. Give thanks for that. Give thanks for all these different things. But also give thanks for answers to prayer. Amen. You know, when you send a text message or a WhatsApp message to a friend, you expect a WhatsApp message or a text message back fairly quickly. And you check your phone to see if you've got one. Well, we should do the same when it comes to prayer. We should pray and then we should regularly check on whether God's answered that prayer. We should be expecting him to answer. We should be expecting him to answer the prayers more quickly and more readily than our friends texting us back or WhatsApping us back. You know, sometimes people say, or give testimonies where they say, oh, you know, I was in this situation and then God provided, incredibly, wonderfully, miraculously provided just the right amount of money that I needed to sort this circumstance out. It's just incredible. It's not incredible. You pray about a situation, God provides. It'd be incredible if he didn't. That's the sort of God we've got. You know, what's the Bible say when it comes to prayer? Jesus said it himself. He said, ask and you will receive. Not you might receive. Not occasionally you will receive. Not receive if you're a good person. Not receive if you've done well this week. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. You know, God will answer prayer. God's not deaf. You bring your prayers to him, he hears them, and he answers them. That's the way it works. That's the way prayer works. You know, you text a friend about a situation, they text you back with the answer. You know, I'm a very impatient gardener. And, you know, I plant a seed, and then I keep going and checking on it every day. You know, it takes like 2 weeks or 3 weeks for this seed to grow. But I keep trying to check on it every day. Well, you know, that's maybe not the right way to do gardening, but it's the right way to do prayer. Check for your answers to prayer. Note down your answers to prayer. Make lists of the answers to prayer. Journal them and say, thank you, Lord, that you keep answering these prayers. You keep answering them at the right time, in the right way, just as is required. Note those things down and give thanks to him for them. And let me finish by just encouraging us to pray. You know, someone said, to me, you know, I've never really prayed much. Or, why don't you start? Join a prayer meeting. Or start by yourself at home. Or find a friend that you can pray with. You see, when it comes to prayer, the key thing is to do it. You know, what does God want us to do? He wants us to pray. He wants us to pray continually. He wants us to pray watchfully. And he wants us to pray with thanksgiving. Let's do that. Gracious Father, we thank you for the gift of prayer. Thank you that we can come to you in prayer because of what Jesus has done for us. Help us to be people who pray. People who are constant in prayer, who pray regularly about anything and everything. People who are watchful in prayer and aware of the time in which we live and pray into it. And people who give thanks to you in prayer for all your good gifts to us. You've done so much for us, Lord. We thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for the gospel. And we thank you for the gift of prayer. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.